ladies and gentlemen, a foot race between our beloved friends, our dear friends, Peter and John. A foot race between these two disciples of our Lord will help us understand that the events of the book of Revelation have not happened yet, as if anyone has to tell you that. But I'm afraid that I do, because there are some nasty rumors going around that the events of the book of Revelation are historic. That is, they already happened. Yes, the heavens and earth have passed away. Jesus Christ has already returned to the earth, according to this theory, or should I say insanity. Righteousness has come to Israel. Not only this, but we're living on a new heavens and a new earth. And there's no more death. And there's no more crying, no more misery, no more clamoring. And all the curs and the enchanters and the adulterers are outside. And we have no trouble from them anymore. It's a wonderful bliss we live in. The New Jerusalem is on earth. If you can't see it, I guess you're just not spiritual. Sorry about your luck. And on and on in the madness. So a foot race between Peter and John. How funny the things God uses in John 20 verse 4 is going to prove to us a critical word in the opening phrases of Revelation. That if you screw up here, you're going to somehow have to squint and smear your eyes with Vaseline or grape jelly or something. Try to convince yourself that the events of the Revelation are past, and that all these things that are going to, are said to occur in conjunction with the unveiling of Jesus Christ are already occurred, have occurred, and you're somehow now living on the new earth in all its resplendent glory. And if you think that's true, go to New Jersey. Go to New Jersey. You don't want to go to Colorado, because there are some very nice places in Colorado where you can actually not be in sight of any civilization whatsoever. And if you're there on a summer day in a meadow where there are daffodils, you may get the impression that perhaps this is the kingdom. You can't hear any gunshots. Nobody's getting killed. There are no adulterers or whoremongers or dogs or curs or catamites, sodomites nearby, then you may get the impression that we indeed are in the kingdom. But then you go to smell your armpit because you've climbed the mountain. Oh, crap, death is still operating in me. Because when you're made immortal, you will no longer stink. But if you have strained to climb any mountains whatsoever in your quest for an idyllic view, it's very hard to find one. Just smell your armpit and your delusions will be exploded and destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, it is critical that we get a proper translation here in the first two verses of the unveiling. The unveiling of Jesus Christ, which God gives to him to show to his slaves what must occur swiftly. What must occur swiftly. You know how the King James translates this? I'm glad you asked, because I have the answer to that. The King James said, as soon as I find it, that to show his slaves, quote, what must shortly come to pass. They used the word shortly instead of swiftly. Now, in the introductory phases videos of this series, I mistakenly pointed out that I was assuming the King James said quickly. I'm coming quickly. Someone pointed out to me, Zender, why do you keep saying quickly? Because I don't often refer to the King James Version. Because quickly does kind of mean the same thing as swiftly. The King James doesn't say quickly or swiftly. Unfortunately, it says, what does it say? Soon. What must soon come to pass. Where is that verse? I was just there. Thursday. Shortly. See, I hate the King James so much that I block these words out from my mind. What must shortly come to pass? This is critical to understand, because the question here, the big issue, is whether the interval, whether we're talking about the interval preceding an action, or the action itself. If the King James is right, what must shortly come to pass, then we're talking about the interval before the action starts. These are things that must shortly come to pass. Come to pass is talking about the action. They must shortly come to pass. That means it's going to be soon. But when the right word is here, and again, the Concordant version translates correctly, and I'm going to show you why this is correct, what must swiftly occur, then it's speaking of the action itself, not the prelude to the action. The action will be swift, but the time period between the announcement of it and the fulfillment of it might not be swift at all. In fact, if we of a sound mind look through history, we can see that the events of this prophecy have not even started yet. Open your eyes. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. This ain't no tribulation, it hasn't started yet, because it's... Never mind. Sorry I even started that. It's execution, that's what we're talking about. The I'd like to execute some of these preterists myself that are telling you lies, trying to make you feel unspiritual. Like, what, you can't see that Jesus Christ has returned and that he's living in you and that the kingdom is now alive in you? That's hogwash. We're dying creatures. We're weak. We're immortal. We're mortal. We're still sinning. We're still awaiting. We're awaiting. Paul says, we're awaiting our Savior out of heaven, who will be transforming our mortal bodies. And this is still future. And the resurrection is still future. Your loved ones have not gone on before. They're not in heaven now. We're still waiting. That's really good news, because if this is it, I'm really disappointed. If this is it, I want my money back. If this is it, it sucks. If this is it, I'm sending it back for a full refund, because this sucks. If this is what's promised us. And I'm not going to pretend that it is it, and I don't have to. John 20, verse 4. Same Greek word here. Translated correctly in the King James Version, swiftly. Now, why don't they translate it swiftly here? Because they're inconsistent. Simple. Let's start in verse 1 of verse 20. Now, I'm in John. On one of the Sabbaths, Miriam Magdalene is coming to the tomb in the morning, and there being still darkness, is observing the stone taken away from the door of the tomb, Jesus' tomb. Great day. Hallelujah. God be praised. Because I'm easy come, easy go. Okay, that's really great news here. So she's racing then and is coming to Simon Peter and to the other disciple of whom Jesus was fond. And she is saying to them, they take away the Lord out of the tomb, and we are not aware where they place him. Peter then and the other disciple came out, and they came to the tomb. Now the two raced alike. In other words, they both raced. They both, on your mark, get set, go. And the other disciple runs more swiftly before Peter, John. Runs more swiftly. That's the Greek word here. What is the Greek word? Do you care? If you do, I will look it up. He ran more swiftly. Why don't I take this crap out of my Bible beforehand? Everything falls out. Every time I look up a word, everything I have stuffed in the back of my Bible falls out. Swiftly. Toshu. T-O-C-H-U. Swift. In a speedy manner. It's an adverb. Thus the L-Y. Taku. T-A-C-H-U. I wonder if that's the root word we get tachometer. I bet it is. Your tachometer running swiftly. That's the Greek word here. It means in a speedy manner. We're talking about the execution of the thing. So John ran more swiftly than Peter and came first to the tomb. He came first because he ran more swiftly. We're not talking about the time leading up to it. So it's not as if after Mary Magdalene told them about the empty tomb, and then so they quickly ran to the tomb. That would give you the impression that without thinking very much, or without putting on their running shoes, or doing any stretching exercises, or making sure they had enough carbohydrates, or they just went off. So it would be speaking of the events leading up to the action. They quickly went to the tomb, like right away. They soon after. See, that's the misapprehension you're getting with soon. Soon after Mary Magdalene told them, they went to the tomb. Soon. No, they went swiftly. Swiftly, not soon. Soon speaks of the time preceding when the action begins, and swiftly talks about the execution of the action. That's a big difference, because it has been 2 millennia since these words were penned, and you have to be of sound mind is forced to acknowledge that either these events are past and they're done, and we have to somehow take some kind of drug in order to say that all the blessings that are supposed to be here on this earth aren't. Either that, or the thing was not intended to take place soon. And the mistranslation soon is also misleading. And many people jumping on the KJV soon have made the entire book of Revelation past. That's how critical this word is. Again, you blink here and you're down a bad, stupid path. It's bad and it's stupid. I don't mind telling you. In fact, if I were to use my trained senses, the senses that I use to tell that something hot is hot and cold is cold, and a dog poop smells good and daffodils, dog poop smells bad and daffodils smell good, those same senses tell me that the time between the writing of this revelation and its execution has been slow, not soon, has been very drawn out, dragged out. So this correct, I did say dog poop smelled good, didn't I? I corrected myself, right? I do think skunk smells good. I've been made fun of for that. And now that I'm announcing it to the world, then the ridicule will come anew. I do think that skunk smells good. I've always liked it. Whenever I smell a skunk, I pause. You know, I think the saying ought to be, take time to smell the skunks. People say, take time to smell the coffee. Take time to smell the roses. No, I think we should take time to smell the skunks. But knowing this word is soon, or swift, rather than soon, it does away with that crazy idea that we're going to be coming up on again, which I already told you a little bit about, talking about the prophetic section, which is upcoming here, that the ecclesias, the seven churches, are actually church ages. They go on for a long, long time. That's wrong, and this word disproves that too. And really, the character of God is at stake. And whenever the character of God is at stake, I get rabid about this kind of thing. We are now in an administration where God is lingering. It's the administration of grace. When the administration of the indignation of God comes, it's going to be swift. Because God is swift in his, he's swift in his meting out of judgment. He's swift. It's coming swiftly. Bang, the events of Revelation are going to happen fast. But now that we're in the era of Paul, we're in the era of grace, we're in the era of good times, he's lingering, he's waiting. It's been a long time, long time, long time. So then when we're snatched away, bang, the events of Revelation are going to happen swiftly. And then he's going to be lingering again. He lingers swift and lingers. Lingers in the era of grace, swift in judgment, and he's going to linger in the time of the kingdom, speaking specifically of 1,000 years of glorious blessing that came from the swift judgment of his strokes.